Welcome. You know, I spoke at West 3 weeks ago, and we've got about the same number here tonight as they had West. I guess it's a bad weekend because of the holiday, but or maybe it's because I'm going to speak tonight. But nonetheless, we welcome you. First of all, I don't come a time, or I don't call a time, when a sermon, or this, let me rephrase that. First of all, I don't call this a sermon, but a Bible study. Most of our reading will come from the book of Genesis. Our lesson today will concentrate on threes. That's threes. Brad had talked to me about the three coats of Jacob, or Joseph, some time ago. And as I looked through the book of Genesis, I found an awful lot of threes. And I'd like to go with you, or study with you this evening. We began with Terah, and he was the father of Abram. I think Abram had, right at first, God told Abram to start moving around, and so he did a lot of moving. And God's promise to, first three, God's promise to Abram, that'll be Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. After the death of Abram's father, God told him, "Leave your own country behind you and your own people and go to the land where I will guide you. If you do, I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name famous and you will be a blessing to many. I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. And the entire world will be blessed because of you." Then the second blessing that God gave Abram is in 13, verses 4 to 8, or 14 to 8. After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abram, "Look as far as you can see in every direction, for I'm going to give all of this to you and your descendants. And I'm going to give you so many descendants that like dust, they can't be counted. Hike in all directions and explore the new possessions I'm giving you." Then Abram moved his tent to the oaks of Mamre near Hebron, and he built an altar to Jehovah there. Third promise to Abram is in 15, verses 5 and 6. Then God brought Abram outside beneath the sky, nighttime sky, and told him, "Look up into the heavens and count the stars if you can. Your descendants will be like that, too many to count." And Abram believed God because God considered him righteous on account of his faith. Then the next set of threes, we'll go back to chapter 13. Well, I'm sorry, back to 11:30. But Sarah was barren, she had no children. Then Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, his son Herod's child, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, and left Ur of Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan. But they stopped in the city of Haran and settled there. And there Terah died at the age of 205. So we see here the barren women that Sarai was barren. Then let's look at chapter 25. Verse 21. We see here that Rebekah was barren. For chapter 1 says, or chapter, verse 21, Isaac pleaded with Jehovah to give Rebekah a child, for even after many years of marriage, she had no children. Then at last she became pregnant, and it seemed as though children were fighting each other inside her. Then let's go to chapter 29. Verse 31. We see here, but because Jacob was slighting Leah, Jehovah let her have a child, for while Rachel was barren. So that was quite an ordeal with Rachel, and we'll get into that just in a minute. Then the third thing we want to look at tonight, third word, is deception. And we see here Abram was deceived, or was deceiving others. We'll go back to verse or chapter 12 again. And we'll look at verses 10 to 15. There was at that time a great famine in the land. So Abram went on down to Egypt to live. But as he was approaching the borders of Egypt, he asked Sarai, his wife, "Tell everyone that she is your sister, because you're very beautiful." And he told her, "And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife. Let's kill him, and then we can have her.' But if you say you are my sister, then the Egyptians will be well with me and spare my life." Then the second one is back to 25, and that'll be Rebekah. And that's the same reading as we had a moment ago. Isaac pleaded with Jehovah to give Rebekah a child, for even after many years of marriage, she had no children. And, well, I gave you the wrong one. The second one was Isaac, chapter 26, verses 6 to 9. So Isaac stayed in Gerar, and when the men there asked him about Rebekah, he said, "She is my sister." So another deception. For he feared for his life if he told them she was his wife, because he was afraid they would kill him because of her, for she was very attractive. But sometime later, King Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw Isaac petting with Rebekah. Then the third gal, or the third person deceptive, is Laban. I'll get it pretty soon. And that's in chapter 39. or no, I'm sorry, chapter 29, starting with verse 14. "Just think of my very own flesh and blood," Laban exclaimed. "For after there had been Jacob had been there about a month, Laban said to him one day, 'Just because we are relatives and no one is to work for me without pay, how much do you want?' Now Laban had two daughters, Leah the older, and her younger sister, Rachel. Leah had lovely eyes, but Rachel was shapely and in every way a beauty. 'Well,' Jacob said with his love to Abram or Rachel, so he told his father, 'I'll work for you for 7 years if you'll give me Rachel as my wife.' 'Agreed,' Laban said. 'I'd rather give her to you than to someone outside the family.' So Jacob spent the next 7 years working to pay for Rachel. But they seemed to him but a few years, so he was much in love with her. Finally, the time came for her to marry her. 'I've fulfilled my contract,' Jacob said. 'Now give me my wife so that I can sleep with her.' So Laban invited all the men of the settlement to celebrate with Jacob at a big party. Afterwards that night, when it was dark, Laban took Leah to Jacob, and he slept with her. And Laban gave Leah a servant girl, Zilpah, to be her maid. But in the morning, it was Leah." "What sort of trick is this?" Jacob raised at Laban. "I worked for 7 years for Rachel. What do you mean by this trickery? It is not custom to marry off a younger daughter ahead of her sister," Laban replied. These were all three beautiful women, and they were all three barren. Now we have visions and dreams. We go back to, or go to 37. First verse. Jacob has just been working around. "So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan where his father had lived. Jacob's son Joseph was now 17 years old. His job, along with his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, was a shepherd to his father's sheep. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things they were doing. Now, as it happened, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his children because he was a son when he was old. So one day Jacob gave him a special coat, a special gift, a brightly colored coat. His brothers, of course, noticed their father's partiality and consequently hated Joseph. They couldn't say a kind word to him. But one night Joseph had a dream and promptly reported the dream or details of his father's and to his brothers, causing even deeper hatred. "Listen to this," he proudly announced. "We were out in the field binding sheaves, and my sheaf stood up, and your sheaves all gathered around it and bowed before it." "Well," the brothers said, "so you want to be our king, do you?" His brothers derided, and they hated him both for the dream and for the cocky attitude. Then he had another dream and told it to his brothers. "Listen to my latest dream," he boasted. "The sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed low before me." This time, he told it to his fathers as well as his brothers. "What is this?" he said. "Shall I indeed be your indeed your mother and your brothers come and bow before you?" His brothers were fit to be tied concerning this affair, but his father gave it quite a bit of thought and wondered what it all meant. Then the second dream is the wine taster when he was in jail. And this will be in chapter 40, verse 9 starting. Remember that the Pharaoh had gotten irritated, and so he sent the wine taster and the baker to prison. So the wine taster told his dream first. "In my dream," he said, "I saw a vine with three branches that began to bud and blossom, and soon there were clusters of ripe grapes. I was holding Pharaoh's wine cup in my hand, so I took the grapes and squeezed the juice into it and gave it to him to drink." "I know what this means," Joseph said. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh is going to take you out of prison and give you back your job as a wine taster. And please have pity on me, for when you're back in his favor, and mention me to Pharaoh and ask him to let me out of here. For I was kidnapped from my homeland among the Hebrews, and now this, here I am in jail when I did nothing to deserve it." When the chief baker saw that the first dream had such good meaning, he told his dream to Joseph. "In my dream," he said, "there were three baskets of pastries on my head. Then the top basket were all kinds of bakery goods for Pharaoh, but the birds came and ate them all." The three baskets mean 3 days. Joseph told him, "3 days from now, your body will be on a pole, or will take off your head, impale your body on a pole, and the birds will come and pick off your flesh." Pharaoh's birthday came 3 days later. And then he had a dream, and Pharaoh is the third one. 41 started with verse 1. One night 2 years later, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing on the bank of the Nile River when suddenly 7 sleek, fat cows came up out of the water and began grazing in the grass. Then 7 other cows came from the water and ate up the fat cows. When it was over, he stood beside the fat cows. Then he fell asleep again and had a second dream. This time he dreamed 7 heads of grain on one stalk, and every kernel was well formed and plump. Then suddenly 7 more heads appeared on the stalk, and these were shriveled and withered by the east wind. And these thin heads swallowed up the 7 plump, well-formed heads. Then Pharaoh woke up and realized it was all a dream. The next morning, as he thought about it, he became very concerned as to what the dreams might mean. He called for all the magicians and the sages of Egypt, told him about it, but not one of them could suggest what the dreams meant. Then the wine person said, "Oh, today I remember my sin. Some time ago, when you were angry with a couple of us, you put me and the chief baker in jail." And then he said, "We told a young Hebrew, who was a slave of the captain of the guard, and he told us what our dreams meant. And everything happened just as he said. I was restored to my position, and the chief baker was executed and impaled on a pole. Fear was sent at once for Jacob, or Joseph. He was brought hastily from the dungeon, and after a quick shave and a change of clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. "I had a dream last night," Pharaoh told him, "and none of these men can tell me what it means. But I have heard that you can interpret dreams, and that is why I have called you." "I can't do it by myself," Joseph replied, "but God will tell you what they mean." Well, we know what all the dreams meant. There were 7 good years of harvest, and then there were 7 years of famine. And then that finishes the dreams. Then let's go to the 3 coats. Coat 1, let's go back to 37. We've read this once, but we're going to read it again. "So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan where his father had lived. Jacob's son Joseph was now 17 years old. His job, along with his half-brothers and the sons of his father's wives, was to shepherd the father's flock. But Joseph reported to his father the bad news they were doing. As it happened, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his children because he was born in his old age. Then one day, Jacob gave him a special coat or gift, a brightly covered coat." So that's that's coat number 1. Then we go to chapter 39. Starting with verse 7. Look at something here just a minute. Okay, verse 9, yes. Interpreting dreams is God's business. "Tell me what you saw." The wine taster sold him first in my dream. Now I've gotten the wrong one.